Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello and welcome back to the FPL Roundtable, the only fantasy Premier League podcast where we guarantee that you might learn something about fantasy, probably. I'm your host, Kevin DeVries. Joining me, as always, is my good friend and partner in crime, Rob Langevin. Rob, it has not been too long since we recorded. I think we recorded Thursday, show went out Friday, as soon as we heard about the double Game Week 34 announcements. So that's all behind us. We've already helped you construct the rest of the season if you've been listening to us. If you're following Ben Krellen, who's making choices that I will not comment on. Some people are real mad. I largely don't see
that.
Yeah. But the point is, everything out this weekend, and rightfully so, our content included, was about how to set up for either the rest of the season, how to get to 34, if you're going to free hit in 34 or 35, how to get to the other one of those weeks. What people aren't really talking about is this coming week. So, Rob, we've talked about constructing your team for the rest of the season, but you don't want to just punt this week to build toward... Like, you don't want to waste 3 weeks going into week 34. That's what happened with match week 31, is a lot of people wasted the 3 weeks leading into 31 just trying to get their teams ready and ended up kind of being screwed by it just because a lot of the high-profile guys like Zaha, like Shaqiri, didn't end up hitting that week. Are you thinking people should avoid making that same mistake again? Or do you think that 34 is going to be so hit, like make or break, that people should exclusively be building towards that?
Well, let me put this out there first. Yes, you should be building for 34, but there's still 2 weeks between now and then of gameplay, 32 and 33. What I'm noticing is most of the transfer in and outs are based around people who have a good schedule now and double in 34, because I think that's the way of the world. I think a lot of people who are playing in the FPL universe are utilizing, I believe, their second wild card right now, and I think that they're hemming and hawing, and a lot of the players that are going in and out and have been transferred in a lot. If you notice, when I get to the price changes, almost every one of these names has come in, because if you're on wild card right now and you're not paying attention to the rises in prices, you're doing it wrong, because you're getting basically a free penny and you're banking on the fact that they may go up another penny before you sell them. So then you actually gain a penny in value. So, two pennies gained is a penny earned, I guess we'll say.
And that's your 2 cents.
That's my 2 cents, but you only get 1 cent because it's a half doom. And then we're on euros. Then we're out of Brexit and stuff. But no, I mean, listen, I'm all for building 34. I'm currently building for 34, but I have my eyes on 32, 33, and 34 all clearly in the picture here. You know, it's a three-week play for me. I just think that people are overlooking some of the matchups this week. You know, you have Liverpool taking on Crystal Palace. That's a great matchup right there. You have United taking on Swansea. It's another great matchup. You have City taking on Everton. Another great matchup. Anybody that City plays right now is a great matchup. Arsenal playing Stoke, that's a great matchup as well, fantasy-wise. There's some other sneaky value-wise ones in there. Leicester playing Brighton, Burnley playing West Brom could be a sneaky play for defensive or maybe a little bit offensive.
Yeah, even Bournemouth-Watford. I mean, Bournemouth have been scoring goals, and Watford have been letting them in.
Watford likes to give them up in bunches like bananas.
Which is convenient because they wear yellow.
See, that's why I said it. See, it's a whole color assimilation thing.
That's high-level analysis. Where else are you going to get that?
Yeah, nowhere. The only game that doesn't really matter, especially between me and Kevin, because we're friends, and we don't talk about tawdry stuff like Chelsea Spurs on April Fool's Day, nonetheless. I mean, I'd wager something, but, you know, Kevin still owes me so much.
So many six-packs.
I don't want to just... Keep on the. It's going to be a keg by the time I get
if
paid.
If interest was a single beer a year, I'd owe you at least another six pack.
Yeah, it, like legitimately, like you owe me like a party ball. Do they still sell party balls? You owe me a party ball.
I don't know. I think just keg would be the way to go.
Somebody Google me and Twitter me. And
how many growlers are in a keg?
How many pints are in a growler?
How many shots are in a pint?
I don't know.
See, these are the important questions that we'll get to later. I didn't mean to cut you off there, though.
Shots are 2 ounces. So, and a pint is 16, so that's 8 shots. And then how many pints are in a growler? We're going to finish out. We're diverting from the FPL world. How many pints are in a growler? 3? 2.5?
2.5, it seems.
2.5. Okay. There's 128 12-ounce cups in a half keg.
Hmm.
So who has a calculator watch? We all play fantasy. Everyone owns a calculator watch.
It seems as though a 64-ounce growler would go into a Cornelius keg 10 times, but a quarter barrel keg 15.5 times. I mean, we all knew that.
Oh, totally.
Anyway.
Because I didn't know you were talking about Cornelius keg.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. Yeah, I should have clarified. And also, what is the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow?
I mean, there's no other way to swallow, but to swallow. So.
Oh.
But the funny thing is, what was I just going to say? I had such a good joke and you ruined it with your forget. Oh, I've never heard of a Cornelius keg. Is that like the keg from Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer? Like Cornelius Jack or Cornelius Yukon?
Cornelius keg sounds like a generic bad guy from something.
Yukon Cornelius. That's his name.
Oh, there you go.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and Hermie and the Misfit Toys. I want to be a dentist.
A Cornelius keg is the one with like the it's just like one narrow cylinder.
Oh, okay. It looks like an oxygen tank.
It does. Yeah. You got it. Look at you nailing it like that. You raise an excellent point, though. There are a lot of really good matchups on this slate that could be overlooked while building forwards, but I do think a lot of the players that are available now are players you largely want. If you kept Stanislas after 31, fortunately, he scored at the death, but it still counts. He gets to go up against Watford and their horrible defense that we just mentioned. Lukaku looks a very good own the rest of the season. They get Swansea. As you pointed out, Arsenal against Stoke and their horrible defense if you want Aubameyang rest of the season. So I do think it's possible to kind of take care of both things, both the immediate and the long term.
Yeah, there's a lot of guys who check both columns here that have great matchups this week, like Mahrez and double in game week 34. So I'm not saying, you know, Keep a keen eye on 32, but have the binoculars set for 34. And, you know, just make sure you keep one eye closed because the same guys you want are going to be the ones you want close and far. Hmm. don't overlook the here and now.
Yeah, totally agreed. We're going to do some either ors, but let's go through some price changes. Obviously, there's been a lot of people moving a lot of people around before this crazy end of season rush that we're going to hit, and with a lot of people on their wild card, moves have been coming even faster. So Rob, run us through those and then we'll get into some either ors.
There's been no goalies or no keepers or defense that has gone up. It's mostly offensive players, which makes sense because people are, you know, hemming and hawing and moving funds around to get a lot of their goal scoring studs in. So price ups, Willian has gone up, Mahrez has gone up, David Silva has gone up, or David Silva has gone up. Sun Hung Min has gone up. That's it for midfielders. They're all interesting. Willian doubles, Mahrez doubles, Salah does not. But Salah is funny that he's gone up. I looked it up and did some research. He's now owned in 99.3% of top 1,000 teams.
Wow.
So that means 70 teams do not own, or no, seven. Seven teams do not own Mahrez, Salah out of the top 1,000. David Silva is an interesting one. He's been playing well, great form, good matchup. No double in 34. So moving on to the forwards, Aubameyang has gone up.
And I think Silva left the Spain camp for personal reasons that we assume is tied to his personal reasons why he left City earlier in the season. So do just keep an eye on that, because while he's been phenomenal and has played most of the matches he's been available for, he doesn't tend to get rotated, but there is something going on there in the background in his personal life that has affected his pitch play.
Yeah, I think it's the health of his kid, I believe.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like, but I don't want to speculate too much without really knowing.
I don't want to talk about his kid because then he'll track me down and beat me up. Forwards, Aubameyang, Lukaku, and Rashford have gone up. United double in 34, and they have two cheeky fixtures, so it's good. Glenn Murray has gone up. Benteke has gone up, strangely and oddly. I don't get it. Bobby Firmino has gone up. Jesus has gone up, and Jamie Vardy has gone up. So it's mostly midfielders and forwards that have gone up. If you look at the names there, Murray has a double. Firmino is just a stud, and everybody wants him because they have a good matchup this week and continue through the almost basically the rest of the year. We talked about it on the pre-show when we heard the doubles. Liverpool was basically you ride or die with them even if they don't have a double. Aubameyang is just in a sort of a goal-scoring stretch right now that people are buying into. But given the lack of forward options, no Kane, no Aguero on the docket due to injury, he's looking basically like the shiniest toy. I think Rashford's an interesting one. I have him earmarked when we get to either or after price changes because people are looking at him maybe as a differential with United's cushy fixtures either now or after the City fixture and the double in 34. But I want to touch on that later. Yeah, that's the price ups. We'll go into price downs. I just list the stellar names there. Joe Gomez, Aaron Cresswell, Trippier have gone down in defense. Alexis in midfield. If you're still owning Alexis, you're playing the wrong game and you're probably on fantasy cricket, fantasy baseball, fantasy rugby, whatever else you're on.
But don't cheat if you're playing fantasy cricket.
Maybe fantasy MLS. Maybe fantasy MLS. That's what you're playing. Fantasy MLS. Get into it. Nias, Aguero, and Kane have gone down as well. Aguero and Kane are no surprises. People are shifting around funds. They aren't healthy. Kane's timetable is question mark. Aguero's timetable is question mark / City's going to win the league / Jesus scored for Brazil, and now he's probably going to start and score for City. I'm not surprised at Aguero or Kane going down. If they're on your team right now, you probably haven't looked at your team in 3 months, and you're not even listening to us, so it doesn't make
Although, I am still holding on to Kane because I don't want to waste that transfer because I do believe that he'll be fully fit by 34. Of note, he was off crutches and out of his brace over the weekend at Hotspur Way where England was training. So just keep an eye on that. Again, I don't think it'll be the Chelsea match, but it might be the one following.
Yeah, even when Harry Kane's hurt, he scores a brace.
Hey,
that's my joke of the day. Brought to you by ginger ale
and Gillette,
and that too, which we'll probably get to in a minute. If you want to take a break right now, we can jump into either ors.
All right, yeah. Let's hit an early ad break and hear from the fine folks at Gillette, and then we'll be back with either ors.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years, like a chatbot, maybe your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Okay, and we are back. Now, Rob, we don't really discuss these before we get going, so I hope we don't have too many of the same ones. But I have gone intra-squad, where all of mine are versus players in their own teams. And the first one leads with that shiny toy you were just mentioning. Everybody's going Jamie Vardy right now. He's so fetch. It's the thing to do at the moment.
Trump's trying to make fetch a word.
It's going to happen. But would you rather have golden boy Jamie Vardy or his teammate Riyad Mahrez, who has more combined goals and assists this season?
I'm taking Mahrez. I think Mahrez is the key factor there. I think with the way the midfield looks for the double game week, there's not a lot of great, great options there that you can rely on. When you look at the midfield ranks there, look at the players being transferred in. Son doesn't double. David Silva doesn't double. Mkhitaryan doesn't double. Mm-hmm. Sterling doesn't double. De Bruyne doesn't double. You're basically left with, you know, Mahrez basically being the best. You have Willian there. You have – then you go – then it basically pummels down a little bit. You know, you have Gudmundsson. You have Pascal Gross, Jesse Lingard. So basically Mahrez basically is the penultimate midfielder for the – if you're setting up now with the way their fixtures look. They play Brighton, Newcastle before the double, and then they play Burnley and Southampton on the double. So, I mean, that's four – From a lesser perspective, I think that they should be able to win at least three of those games, at least score in three of those games.
For sure. And
from a scoring perspective, I think Mahrez could probably get on, you know, the sheet there because he's, you know, two goals and an assist in his last two. He's basically only had three straight starts because he was coming back from injury there and poutingness after the whole Man City fiasco. So 22 points in two games for Mahrez is sexy. If you're rostering, if you're building for the future, he's definitely one of the first guys you get in there. You definitely want him now because the way his transfers are going, he's being 82,000 transfers in this week so far. But that encompasses 2 weeks because basically we're on 10 days right now without FPL. So he could possibly go up again. So if you're looking for that extra shilling, Mahrez is my pick from Vardy and Mahrez.
Cool. You got one for me?
I got tons, dude. I got a whole bunch.
Yeah, let's get a little back and forth going.
Yeah, yeah. So I mentioned both these players' names. Neither of them double in 34, but they're kind of have really sexy matchups either now or next week.
Mm-hmm.
So Sun Heung-min or David Silva?
Ooh. Again, we don't know what's happening personal-wise with David Silva.
Mm-hmm.
But, Son versus Chelsea is interesting. I always find good wingers against good wingbacks to be an interesting matchup, not just because it's always interesting seeing strength on strength, but because, like we've seen with Bournemouth, last year it worked really well. This year they keep getting caught unawares because they're too far forward.
Mm-hmm.
Moses is pretty much locked down that job at the moment.
Yeah.
David Silva... Silva's matchup is obviously much better.
Yeah.
If I knew David Silva was fine, I'd probably lean David Silva. But there's no way Son is being dropped in the form he's in right now. And I'm not overly confident that Chelsea will be keeping a clean sheet.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go Son, but it's close.
Here's one even better. Since Man City and Spurs play in week 34, which mm-hmm. is basically what everybody's looking forward
33?
To.
33?
34. They play – Spurs play Stoke in between.
Oh, right. Oh, sorry about that.
So with Spurs playing Chelsea, Stoke, City, and City playing basically the Everton United Spurs, there's two out of those fixtures that are should be, you know, contemptually dangerous for a scoring perspective.
Yeah.
You know, so instead of just this game week, who would you take out of those three? Silva bases – it's basically David Silva versus Everton or – Heung-min Son against Stoke.
Oh, Son against Stoke.
Yeah,
wingback is their biggest issue, mm-hmm. and Son is on blistering form. And I also think Son will be back to being a winger in that Stoke match.
Yeah, absolutely. I think with no Kane there, I think Llorente gets the start up top, and then they just...
Also, Kane might be back for that Stoke match.
He may be. You're right.
Could come off the bench. We'll see. But obviously, Son versus Stoke is lethal. Mm-hmm. Also, Tottenham keep insisting on winning by 4 goals against Stoke. Like, I think it's 5 in a row now.
Yeah, I remember that they did that early in the year, didn't they?
Again, yeah. Yeah, well, right, when we move on to the next thing, I'll look it up. But I honestly think it's the last 5 that Tottenham have won by 4 goals. So, yeah, I'm going to go Son over that stretch for sure. Coming back to you, we're going to kind of stick with the Tottenham theme. Like I said, all mine are kind of versus each other. Would you rather have Son or Eriksen the rest of the way?
Son, and it's not even close. Technically, it's not that it's not close. I think that Son is more a beneficiary if Kane doesn't participate in the next 2-3
Yeah, the longer Kane is out, the more valuable Son is.
Absolutely, because I think that he becomes more of a focal point in the pushing forward offense. I think Spurs also change up their giddy up and go down the wings more than with Kane not there. But that's just I think that they're going to not completely change up their style. I think that they try to push a little bit faster than than having Kane up there to hold the ball up. Blah, blah, blah.
True. Also, it sounds like it'll be Lucas who comes into the side. So Eriksen, Lucas, Della, and Son is, A, that muddled attack that served them so well and has served Liverpool so well this season.
So no Llorente?
Hmm?
No Llorente?
I don't know if it'll be Llorente, man. It's just very hard to trust that he'll score when he plays as opposed to Son, who lately it seems like he's scoring every time he plays.
I just think that the tactic against Chelsea is you take away Christensen or whoever's playing in the middle. Basically, you pin him up with one-on-one. With
Llorente just bullying.
Yeah, and hope that you know, the one of the wings can get free and, you know, monopolize. Basically, you know, Spurs and Chelsea have, you know, kind of mirror imaging styles when they do line up with their best talent. They do have attacking wing players, you know, so I think that's where the game gets caught up, somewhere in there.
Yeah. Interesting. Who's up next for you?
Here you go. I got one for now and through the double game week, because we never really talk about anything about this position very much. After David De Gea, mm-hmm. everyone's going to be rostering David De Gea this week.
For sure.
We're all looking for a second goalkeeper to match up with David De Gea. Matthew Ryan is getting a lot of love. The Burnley goalkeeper is getting a lot of love. Nick Pope. But I got a caveat there. And Schmeichel is my secret little love child right now. Because
yeah, the next four look good.
You know, so after David De Gea, from now until 34, who is your second goalkeeper? Ryan, Schmeichel, or Pope? But I want to preface that with Tom Heaton played for the under 23s and captained the squad.
Yep. Yeah, Heaton keeps climbing back and back. I said like a month ago that I wanted off the Burnley keeper, right, and did do it because I was worried Heaton would come back. Obviously, hasn't happened yet, but you know, it could happen any day now. I think people forget. I think Heaton is club captain at Burnley right now.
He is.
Yep. So hard to keep him out if he is back and fully fit. For me, I'm probably going Ryan. I actually have him in my toggle league as well. Well, in this toggle league for this podcast. And he's served me very well, gets a lot of saves. I don't actually have his player page right up, but I assume he's getting some bonuses off of all those saves. And Leicester looks a little concerning considering how high everybody's riding on them. But Huddersfield and Palace after that don't particularly. Tottenham in 34 is obviously rough, but you're probably just going to roll De Gea in 34 against West Brom and Bournemouth. So over the next two, I'd probably go Ryan.
Ryan over Schmeichel. I would lean Schmeichel myself.
Yeah, against Brighton and Newcastle.
Only because I think the next four with the 34 in compass, if you're wild carding now, which if you've listened to our podcast, if you didn't, go listen to it now. Stop right now. Go back to the other podcast. Listen to it. You'll hear my complete strategy. So I'm personally on my wild card. I am going to bench boost on 34. So that is why I'm building my roster that way. I'll have two free transfers between now and then. And my current goalkeepers are Schmeichel and Dyer.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, it's not a bad shout by any stretch. Just have been I jumped on Maguire after that. Like, was it three consecutive clean sheets he had? Like a random week or a random consecutive? Yeah. 22 to 24 he had consecutive clean sheets. That was the last time they happened.
Yeah. And the other interesting thing about Ryan, Matthew Ryan, is with Brighton, Brighton's been doing well, but people don't realize this. They haven't had a clean sheet since week 21.
Dang. I guess it's kind of different in Togga. See, this is kind of an issue. Sometimes you carry like performance in one format with you.
Mm-hmm.
I was totally. Well, even without those clean sheets, I mean, he had 8 and 27, 4 and 29, 7 and 30 off the back of all those saves I was mentioning earlier.
Yeah, and it's the thing is, it's no different than any other fantasy sport. It's based on how the scoring format is. You know, I'm a fantasy baseball guy, and you play fantasy baseball as well. If one guy is good in one format, say like rotisserie, and in a points league he's not so good because he doesn't, you know, fill all the other categories.
Right.
That point. It's just the way life is.
Yeah.
Fantasy's not fair.
Just admitting a little bit of bias on my side on that one. Okay, now we're going to bump down to a little bit of them cheapy boys. Both of them have 3 goals in the last 5 matches. One of them has more starts than the other. The one with more starts is Ashley Barnes, the one who scored 3 goals and an assist in just the last 2 matches, of which he didn't start, I think. Did he start neither of them, or did he start one of them? Regardless, Wood has done it in far less time. And pretty nice. West Brom Watford, that Leicester match, which is concerning for the defenders on Burnley, not so worrying for the attackers. Chelsea isn't great, but they play Stoke in 35, who we've already bemoaned. Then they have Brighton and Bournemouth rest of season. Which one of these Burnley guys would you consider taking, especially if you've taken Mahrez over Vardy? You have an open forward slot.
Yeah, I'm probably leaning Barnes.
He's getting the starts for whatever reason.
I think that given the time that he gets on, you know, he's been getting 70 something. 90, 88. So I'm going with Barnes only because I think that he's the tried and true guy. Depending on the score of the game, you know, he'd stay in regardless of what happens until the score got out of hand. You know,
we both agree that Wood is the better forward, though, right?
I talent wise, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Wood is the better player. Barnes is a more. Can I say
he has a higher floor in fantasy?
He's better in a Charlie Austin kind of way.
Mm, yeah, I can live with that.
You know,
he's, he's just there to score.
He's in a right place, right time kind of mode,
yeah,
I guess.
I can live with that. I obviously was leaning Wood, and it is worth noting that Chris Wood right now, because he just passed eligibility requirements for shot accuracy, because he finally got enough shots, leads the league in shot accuracy with 72%. Wow. Just an interesting one. But I agree with you. This could just be a super sub thing.
Yeah, like change of pace. Look, he also played West Ham, who was garbage defensively.
That is
He got 2 goals and an assist in 29 minutes.
Yep, so a lot of people that were frustrated because they had benched him. And then...
Goes to tell you how good Italy's defense is when Angelo Ogbonna is getting a call-up.
Yeah. you got one more for me?
I got a couple more. Okay. We'll keep it in the midfield because we'd like to keep it classy. Midfield budget options. Goodmunson, 5.1, Pascal Gross, 6.0, both double, both have okay matchups up until the 34. What you got?
I'm probably going Gross. I'll be honest. When that dip happened around the winter period, I sold off of Gross, and I pretty much regretted it ever since. He has not left the creative stats since then. Like, he continues to be top 5 in both chances created and accurate crosses, like, always.
Yeah.
And it's...
Well, he's the focal. He is the Brighton guy.
What's been so tough this year, because we've talked about this before, the creator in a bad team is usually still ownable. But the thing that's just bothered me all year is Brighton continue to have the worst away attack, and I think they have the third worst home attack. Like, they are just not very good at scoring. I misspoke. They've gotten a lot better lately. I think they're 11th. I'm not going to count. That'd be silly. Maybe I needed to change my mind on him. But Brighton have the worst away attack in the league, which makes him... like, even if he's creating a lot, it's hard to back him in those situations. 7 times. They've scored away from home 7 times this season. That is so bad. That is significantly less than 1 a match. But I think Gross, because he's the driving force, is probably the way to go, especially over the coming weeks, because it gets bad down the stretch. United City and Liverpool to wrap the season is hellish. But up through 34, I think Brighton have the better run, and so I'm probably going to go with Gross here.
Yeah, I don't think there's a wrong answer here. I think either guy fits into that fourth midfielder budget option that is different than your fifth midfielder punt for the double. I think Gross is more the facilitator. Goodmunson is more of the I'm going to break out and nobody's going to own me kind of guy. That's basically what Goodmunson does.
Yeah, I've had Goodmunson for way too long because I regretted selling out on Gross earlier.
Yeah, it's one of those seller's remorse kind of things.
For sure.
I mean, would you own Gross over Kennedy this week?
I'm going to be honest. I want to see more from Kennedy first. I understand the appeal because of the crazy low price. And the remaining fixtures and the fact that he plays in 35. Like, I get it. I don't want to talk anybody off him. I just want to see more. Although I will admit the Huddersfield match seems a ideal time, especially at home, to see what he's got.
You know his first name's Robert, by the way? It really is. It's Robert Nunez. Robert Kennedy Nunez do Nascimento.
I could have made a very off-color joke, and I didn't. So we'll wrap up.
His nickname is Chappaquiddick.
I will wrap up with not only an intra-squad battle, but an intra-family battle between Jordan and Andre Ayew. Obviously, Jordan serving the last match of his suspension this week. Andre Ayew finally starting to get starts. You know, we mentioned as soon as he got there, we were like, why is he not playing? And then he was brought on as a sub and like scored twice. And we were like, uh-huh. That's what we thought. Which Ayew would you rather have rest of year? Again, they are another team that plays in 35. We talked to you off the defenders because they're playing City that week, which is terrifying, even if it's their B team. But the attackers could have a chance.
Yeah. I mean, you're basically looking at this for 33 and 34 if you're not on your wild card here. You're basically looking at it from 33 for when they play West Brom. You know, I'd like to see how fresh and fit and how in-form Jordan Ayew is before I'd be like, okay, I'm going to buy him and put him in, insert him against West Brom. I think Andre Ayew, I'm completely cross-eyed with Ayews right now.
You have crossed Ayews?
Yeah, there's the show title, folks. I think Andre Ayew is the own through 33. After that, I don't want anything to do with any Swansea players. I think we've gone over their fixtures the rest of the year. They're okay after, you know, Man City and Chelsea in 35 and 36, and they do get a double in 37. But
you might be wild carding to bring, like, I'm going to use my wild card in 36.
You're not going out of your way to bring in a Swansea player, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know,
Although Key's still a sneaky, but mostly in draft.
You're going to be gambling against yourself and wasting a transfer in 33 to gamble that they bring you some kind of fantasy goodness against West Brom, you know, on the road.
Yeah.
I don't think that, like I said, after week 36, yes, Swansea are complete buyers because of the double and then Stoke in the final game of the season.
Yeah, decent advice for sure. All right, this is where we usually take the ad break, but we already did that. So we will just roll smoothly and without much ado or any kind of dues into starts and sits. My start is kind of related to what we were talking about at the beginning, where mine is going to be Roberto Firmino. This is not controversial if you just think about how he's been performing. Obviously, 3 goals, 2 assists in the last 5 is something you like. He's the 3rd highest scoring forward in the game this season. Some people are already moving off the Liverpool guys to build towards 34. Again, they play in 35. So if you already used one of your chips, you actually want to keep these Liverpool guys. And as we mentioned earlier, they have a pretty good matchup against Crystal Palace, and Liverpool have the best away attack in the Premier League this season. So I think people are hopping off a little too early. So kind of in the spirit of the intro of this show, wanted to make sure I had somebody that is definitely a good play right now, regardless of rest of season. But also, you could hold on to him rest of season. Like, we talked in our special about how you don't want to get rid of Salah against Bournemouth just because other people have doubles. I'm starting to think I'm not going to get rid of Firmino either. We'll obviously see how things go. But I think people are being a little too quick to judge here on Firmino, who has had a fantastic second half of the season. My midfielder, mentioned him earlier, is going to be Junior Stanislas. At 6.0 is still a bargain. Arguably should have been in the discussion for those cheap guys earlier. 3 goals in the last 5, even though that last one, again, was the last minute. And he's against Watford, who have the worst home defense. Stanislas also up there in shot accuracy as well, though he doesn't do it super often. He is very accurate when he does so, and largely was the one hero in 31, aside from all of the Liverpool guys. So he's also riding on a bit of a high there. In defense, I'm going with the Burnley guys. We talked about playing both for now and long term. Burnley is who you want right now against West Brom, against Watford. Leicester Chelsea gets a little iffy, but you don't want to sell them because you want that Stoke match in 35. So I'd recommend bringing in a Burnley defender now. It's really take your pick. You can take Tarkowski. You can take me, who's a bonus point machine. I'm just partial to Ward because I hopped on him early that last time. Held on to him for like 3 extra weeks when he was hurt because they kept saying he'd be back the next week, and then he was out for like 2 months. But Ward is the direction I'm going there with defenders. Who are you looking at starting and setting also in this kind of like short and long-term mold?
I'll start in defense. I'm keeping it Burnley here with I'm going with James Tarkowski. First English appearance, got capped for the
congrats.
England team. 4.5 owned in 3.1% of leagues. I like Burnley up until the game week 34. Some people are gonna roll the dice and probably have Burnley through those double fixtures. They do play Chelsea in one of them, so it's gonna be a tougher sledding. I like Tarkowski. I think he's coming off of that England cap, and I think that he could do something, you know, awesome, like completely get a clean sheet all by himself. No,
and 2 goals.
And a goal. Yeah, and a goal and 2 headed assists. That doesn't make any sense. But anyway, through my midfield, Mahrez completely should be on everybody's team right now.
Great shout. Being weirdly slept on right now.
Yeah, given the amount of people that – are, like I said before, completely on wild card and building for the future. The rate that this guy's being transferred in should be almost double to what it is, given the options through the midfield of what's going on. I think he should be the second most owned midfielder right now behind Mohamed Salah, and I'm not ashamed to admit that. For forward, it's Aubameyang, only because everybody wants the comfort blanket of not blanking anywhere and not having any doubles and just being able to copacetically set your lineup and be like, okay, you know, he's like the Ron Popeil of fantasy forwards right now, and everybody's transferring him in as such based on 170,000 in right now. Everybody else is doing it, so, I mean, you might as well do it too. So, I mean, it's basically a coin flip between him and Lukaku. It just depends on how much money you want to spend everywhere else. On to my sits. I'm gonna go with a guy who sank me in like 2 weeks ago, and Kevin yelled at me for it again. I'm going to go with Shenk Tosun.
No.
You know, once I said that it was sinking me 2 weeks ago, Kevin knew it was going to come. Everton's just schedule is just not in its favor at all. They have Man City, they have Liverpool. Then after that, sure, they don't blank the rest of the year, but they don't double either. So Everton is basically in the same handcuff pool as Arsenal. I know he's got goals in his last couple games, but do you expect them to score against Man City, Kevin?
Probably not.
You expect him to score against Liverpool at home? Liverpool on at home?
Yeah, I could see them doing it. Liverpool obviously not as good defensively away from home than they are at Anfield. But
in his first derby match, you think he's going to score against Liverpool? Come
he'll
on,
he'll be a legend if he does. How about that?
Oh Jesus, here he goes.
He's the next Nikola Jelovic.
I was going to say he's the next Clint Dempsey. Yeah. So Shenk Tosun is my sit for mid for forward.
So much hate, man. What's going on? Were you one of those guys that got beat up by those Turkish guys at the embassy in D.C.?
Yeah, I was completely, because now I'm Turkish. Has somebody ever seen how I spell my name?
It looks No. It was American citizens that got beat up by Turkish security force.
Oh, no, I didn't do it. No.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Just check.
So my midfield sit is Mark Arnautovic. I think people are going to look at him, look at what he's previously done. His price tag, 6.9, he's still affordable enough. West Ham don't do anything good until, I believe, week 37 when they double. God.
Their matches are so bad. And even then, it's Leicester and United. Like,
yeah,
what we talked about it on the last show. West Ham still play Chelsea, Arsenal, City, Leicester, United, and Everton. I mean, that Everton match is a little iffy. But, like, Oh, that is not a fun way to end the season.
Considering they just gave up 3 goals in 29 minutes. We just talked about it. To who? To Burnley.
Yeah, that's not ideal.
I don't care. People are going to come look at what he did on the international break. He had 2 goals for country, and people like his hair. I don't get it. Marko Arnautovic is a complete sell for me. Defensively, I'm gonna broad brush stroke it. Sit Spurs, Chelsea, Everton, Palace, and Swansea this week.
Yeah, absolutely fair, all of those. For me, my sits, I'm going to start with all those forwards that are injured. Like, if you aren't wild-carded right now, there is like a 0% chance you don't have a forward with some kind of ding on them, whether it be Aguero or Kane, maybe even Jordan Ayew, who we were talking about earlier. So again, I'm not selling. I had two of them, so I had to get rid of one of them. But you probably want to keep. Well, Aguero's the one that I personally sold, just because even though they have the better run in theory, I'm not sure how many of those he's playing, because they're probably going to wrap up the title soon. For me, I'm sitting Kane rather than selling him. In midfield, I'm going to go with Paul Pogba, who is still way higher owned than I thought. Currently having massive issues with Jose Mourinho. I meant to have this pulled up already, but I feel like he hasn't done anything in weeks.
He hasn't.
Doop, doop, doop. Yeah, he had an assist in 29, but before that he hadn't done anything since 23. His last goal was match week 12.
He's still owned in 10% of leagues. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, but seriously, last time he scored a goal was match week 12,
which was probably December. Don't own Paul Pogba.
Yeah, it's really silly. And while United do have, like we've mentioned before, a decent run of fixtures, that's not the way you want to go. You don't really want to go Alexis either. I'm personally just holding on to Lingard. There was that couple weeks where Lingard dipped, and I was like, I don't know if there's somebody else I trust more at Manchester United right now. And aside from Lukaku, who I also don't trust.
McTominay,
there you go. It's your boy. For the defenses, I'm just avoiding the whole Tottenham-Chelsea match. I don't know how this is going to pan out. Again, I don't think Kane starts or even plays, but he's already off stuff. But Potts surely learned his lesson from rushing Wanyama back against them earlier this season and then him missing the rest of the first half of the season. But I you're on the other side of this. Do you feel like you have a good beat on how this match is going to go? I don't.
It's going to be 1-1.
Yeah, just to annoy all these defenders.
Yeah, it'll be David Zappacosta's first Premier League goal.
There you go. You heard it here first. All right, well, that's it for Fantasy Premier League stuff. If you want to be here for a little bit of nonsense, Rob, it's almost baseball season.
It is baseball season. By the time people listen to this, baseball has started.
Hype, hype, hype. So, Rob, who do you think, we all know that you're the relief pitcher czar over there at Razzball. If you had to guess who's going to have the most saves and who's going to have the most holds, who do you think they'll be?
We're talking about saves as a quantity, right? Not indeed, like just the best reliever.
Yes.
Saves. You know what? I'll give you a hometown shout and I'll give you a Felipe Rivera.
Ooh. Oh, I like that. Because you might be saying that just to pander, but it is working.
I'm actually not, because I think the Pirates are built a lot like the Rays were. And Alex Colomé won. He had the most saves last year with 47. Listen, the Pirates aren't going to score a ton of runs. They're not going to outscore a lot of people. And that's important for the save category.
Yeah, we're not going to outscore the save.
Yeah, you need to keep it within 3 runs. And I think the Pirates have the ability to do that. Holds wise, I think it's going to be Juan Nicasio from Seattle.
Okay. Not a bad shout. What about your boy Swarzak?
I like Anthony Swarzak with the Mets. You know, I just think that there's too many mouths to feed in the Mets bullpen, and their team is not a manager friendly like he's not very friendly with the bullpen there. You know, they have Familia as the closer, and then they have a quasi closer on AJ Ramos, and then they basically have a whole lot of useful pieces. Blevins and Rhume, Rhume, is a rookie to keep an eye on. But yeah, Nicasio for me is a guy. I like Michael Givens from Baltimore. I think he's going to be used a ton. I like Carl Edwards Jr. from the Cubs,
who we all know from his NASCAR days.
Yep, Carl. Yeah, or his hamburger joint.
Yep.
Yeah, there's a lot of arms I like, right? Bullpens are the 5-year wave that we're going through right now in baseball.
Yeah, cool. And then we'll wrap with, do the Yankees win the division?
Yes, they win a division. I thought it was going to be by how many? I think they win by like 5 games.
You know? Fair enough. All right. Well, that'll do us today. You get a little bonus fantasy baseball advice there to wrap things up. Rob, tell the folks where they can get more of that and you.
You can find me on Twitter at FPL_MNOP. You can find my writings, stylings, and musings on soccer as well as fantasy baseball on Razzball.com.
Yeah, and I'm your other host, Kevin DeVries. You can find me on Twitter at Kevroff. You can find my writings over at goal.com. You can also hear me hosting the EPL Roundtable on this very channel. Also, we have the championship show on this podcast as well, so be sure to check that out. And also, I do a live match commentary now over at Omnisport, and I'll usually post the links to those as they are happening if you're interested in such things. Rob, thanks so much for hopping on here again.
No,
just like
you.
4 days after we did it on Thursday, and then that was just 3 days after we did it on Monday. But we're churning these out pretty quick here. But thanks so much to you guys for listening. Thanks to Rob again for joining us. Keep listening to our stuff, please. And best of luck to your teams, unless you're in our mini leagues. And we'll catch you next time.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.